In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. There are many people in our culture, and even in our church, that love to gamble. And that gambling is based on the reality of a kind of rolling the dice on a guess or an assumption. Because that's the draw of gambling, after all, the uncertainty of the whole thing. And many Catholics are willfully ignorant of the faith. And many choose to be that way. And they're rolling the dice on their immortal soul because what they don't know ultimately will destroy their mortal souls. That is to say, that God expects those who are faithful to bear fruit. You see, so many people roll the dice. They've bought into the trap that since God is a God of love, He has to accept everybody into heaven. Or they fall in the trap of believing that when the time comes, I'll have a chance to convert. But it doesn't really work that way for most. The way you live your life, whether you are close to God or not, is the way you will die. And it is also where you will spend eternity. So if you live your life away from God, you will die without God, and you will spend eternity in hell. Not because God is so mean, but because God is so loving that He would never force you to spend eternity with Him when you ignored Him and avoided Him at every possible turn in your life. The thing of the gambling part, though, is the reality that they don't believe they need grace in order to produce fruit, which is why they don't participate in the life of Christ, in the life of the church, in the life of the sacraments. Their conviction is that they are good, that they are holy enough. And then again, rolling the dice some more, since God is a God of love, He has to accept me into heaven, so it's guaranteed. This parable that our Lord teaches to His hearers, if one of these gambling Catholics were to pay attention to what our Lord actually said, they would recognize they're on the path to destruction. They're on the path to hell. Because our Lord spells it out very clearly, using a parable, using something that could be understood by them, a conventional example. But He doesn't explain it to all of the people, only to His apostles. That's, of course, because the apostles, number one, have to have more knowledge. But number two, the apostles go to Him. There's a passage of time between when the Lord tells this parable and then the apostles asking the question, why do you speak to them in parables? When you put the Gospels together, you see the chronology. And the apostles asked Jesus this question, why do you speak to them in parables? Because they saw that people weren't converting based on Jesus' parables. They saw that it seemed like the parables were not producing any fruit. People just weren't converting. And so therefore they asked Him the question, why? The apostles are thinking only in human terms, like our gambling Catholics who roll the dice, that they're going to go to Mass maybe at Christmas and Easter. They'll come for sacraments and celebrations, but otherwise they'll have nothing to do with God, and yet they're still convinced they're going to heaven. They're not. They're not. But the dice rollers would be like the apostles, not quite understanding why is it that there's no conversions. That's why our Lord explains the parable. His explanation is simple. The seed sown on the path is the one who is hardened in his heart. He's indifferent. He's lukewarm. The lukewarm don't care. Most gambling Catholics who roll the dice on their eternal salvation are simply lazy, are too involved in sin, or too involved in simply enjoying the pleasures of life, and therefore they will not make an effort to come to know, love, and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so they are like that seed. That hit, they're like the path that the seed hits. It can't do anything. Remember, the seed is the gospel. It doesn't necessarily mean just the Bible. It means the whole life of Christ communicated by the church. And He offers it so freely. As we see in the most blessed sacrament, Jesus gives to us his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. And Emma will receive her first communion today, her first real encounter with the crucified one who gives himself in totality to her out of love. Can you imagine what it must look like to the Christ when a Catholic who has received this great gift is indifferent about it? You know those gambling Catholics who receive their first communion and then confirmation then quit going to Mass? Those gambling Catholics that only go once or twice a year at special occasions? Can you imagine how our Lord reacts to that indifference? Oh wait, we know, don't we? The third chapter of the book Revelation in our Lord's dictated letter through St. John to the people of Laodicea. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Christ said that. Remember, one of my goals here is to destroy the pot-smoking hippie Jesus that many people believe exists that doesn't exist. The dice rollers usually believe in the pot-smoking hippie Jesus who just leans back and says, it's all cool. Whatever you want, I'm okay with it. Our Lord is not. So the first problem is grace is given to us freely, but it lies dormant if it's not used. That's why the gambling Catholic is on the path to hell, because he thinks he doesn't have to do anything to get to heaven. And that's why I say he's rolling the dice. And typically, in the law of averages, you're not going to win every time, and eventually you're going to lose. The house always wins. And so indifference is the first hurdle that must be overcome by the gambling, lukewarm Catholic to stop that lukewarmness, because if he doesn't, God will not force his grace upon. God offers the grace, but he doesn't force it. The second difficulty, and other Catholics would be like that, not just the gambling Catholic, but others, the seat's on rocky ground. These are those who are emotional about their Catholic faith. It's something they do because it feels good, it feels nice, and therefore they receive it with joy, but there are no roots because there's no substance, there's no real understanding. It's all just superstitious, or I just do my prayers, I don't have to do any good works, I don't have to give witness to Christ, I don't have to combat evil, I just sit in my pew and I will coast to heaven. Our Lord is saying the grace will not work for them. Not because God is so mean, but because God loves us, and love always is liberating. It gives us the freedom to choose. And if people choose to reject his grace, he loves them enough to let it be rejected. It's only human love that's forceful, that's confining, that's needy and desperate. That's why there's so many unhappy people in this world who think that's what love is. Love is freeing. Love is liberating. Love involves self-sacrifice. Love is actively seeking what is best for the other. Love is adventurous if it is touched by grace. And if you are overly self-indulgent in emotionalism, grace will not penetrate, as our Lord makes clear. It's like the rocky ground. You receive the joy, but no root. It lasts only for a time. When some trouble or persecution comes, the first time their faith is challenged, they shake their fists at God and blame him. And I quit the church, I'll show you God, as though God is a retailer and they're a customer who's angry. God is God. He needs nothing from us. You walk away from him, it does nothing to him. Because he's perfect and good and of himself, and he loves you enough to let you commit that kind of spiritual suicide. Because love is liberating. And no soul is lost to Christ, to God, as souls are lost to us. Even the souls in hell exist because of God's goodness, and also because of God's justice. And of course, the seed sown among thorns, these are the Catholics who try to have their feet in both worlds. But if you were to weigh their Catholic life, they spend more time at work. They spend more time worrying about work. They spend more time worrying about money. They spend more time worrying about the future because they don't know God is the great I Am. That he is eternally present. There's no past to God. There's no future to God. There's only God. He's the source of being itself. None of us exist without him. So One trusts God and is aware of Him at every moment. The good Catholic knows God and therefore does not obsess over work. He does good work, to be sure, because he knows the work glorifies God. He's prudent about the reality of providing for his family, but he doesn't obsess. He's not believing that he can control his whole destiny. He lives in the present moment, thankful and grateful that God has given him what he has given him, and he looks for no more. But the anxious Catholic, all anxiety is due to worldliness, you know. The anxious Catholic spends more time worrying over money, more time worrying over the future, more time worrying over all these worldly things, and spends so little time at prayer. He too, in the end, is a gambling Catholic because he thinks that it's still going to work out. The fact that he spent more time worrying about work, less time at prayer, more time planning for the future, more time maintaining worldly things and nothing spiritual, he often thinks he's going to heaven too, but he's not. Because this is what our Lord is warning. If you live life like that, grace will not penetrate you. It gets choked off. Remember, you and I cannot enter heaven without grace. It's God's abode. We cannot dictate to him how we get there. He is the one who welcomes us, and he's warning, without the grace, you'll produce no fruit. Without the fruit, you cannot get into heaven. The gambling Catholic exists in all three of these capacities, and the Lord warns against it. This is why he closes with what a Catholic is supposed to be. Like the ground that is fertile, that receives the seed. In other words, hears the word and understands it. How does one come to understand it? But through Christ himself. This is why Christ gives the answers to the apostles, because they went to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? And that's what he's saying. It's not that only the apostles get this information. It's not a secret club. Anyone who needs to know God's will for them, anyone who needs to know what they need to know for their proper ordered vocation, he gives it. Only if you go to him. And that means you have to lay yourself aside, you have to lay your pride aside, you have to lay your worldly anxiety aside, you have to lay your indifference aside, you have to actually care, you have to actually know that God made you for himself. You belong to him. And rebellion against him has a cost. Grace is everything. The whole point of the sacramental system of the church is based on grace. Baptism itself gives us sanctifying grace. So if you're indifferent, grace won't work. You won't get to heaven. If you're an emotional person, sentimental, and your religion is about feeling good and feeling wonderful, and then if anything challenges you, you're out the door, you're not going to heaven because you're not getting the grace. If you're the Catholic that only cares about worldly things and spends all his time doing involved in worldly affairs and worldly concerns and worrying about money, you're really not going to heaven. Not because I say so, but because Jesus says so. And you and I cannot get into him without grace. Because Jesus said to the apostles in the Gospel of John, without me, you can do nothing. And so he makes it abundantly clear, doesn't he, about producing fruit. That the branches that produce fruit stay attached to the vine that is him, but the branches that produce no fruit will be cut off and cast into the fire. Our Lord is referring to hell. Hell does exist, whether you like it or not. And if you're one of those kinds of Catholics, indifferent to God, could care less, sentimental and not really trying to understand your faith, or so concerned about the world and always anxious and unhappy, you are not going to heaven. You need to change your ways now. This is the opportunity God has given you for grace to penetrate your soul and for you to become fertile ground that produces much fruit. You have a great understanding because God will give you all you need to know, especially if you really do understand what you're doing when you receive him, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament. He'll wash away the indifference. He'll wash away the blindness. He'll wash away the uncertitude. And yes, he'll wash away the pride, which can be painful, to have to lay yourself aside and make Christ first. But you won't be able to do it without grace. And if you want the grace, he will give it to you in a super abundant way. He will never be outdone in generosity. When we're generous to him by surrendering ourselves to him, he's equally generous to us. Even more so, beyond our comprehension, I should say, a superabundance of graces. Now is your opportunity to put away the old self, as St. Paul reminds us, and embrace life in Christ. And remember, you know as well as I do that we can't do this on our own. We're too weak, we're too consumed with selfishness and sin, which is why we need grace. And He is so willing to offer it to us. Pledge yourself to Him when you receive Him, body, blood, soul, divinity. When you kneel at the altar rail, that symbol of you dying to yourself for Christ, the altar of sacrifice for you, the altar of the people the altar rail is. Give yourself to Him wholly and fully, and observe the graces He will give to you and transform you into fertile ground that will indeed, by His goodness, produce much fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I believe in one God.